This is the media outreach of St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. And this is a bonus episode, which you're hearing only on our podcast. It's not broadcast on the radio, but on Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on WROL 950 AM, and also on WEZE 590 AM at midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning, you can hear either of our two programs. WEZE is St. Anthony Overnight, and WROL is the Voice of St. Anthony. This program you can only hear through our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com, along with the archives of the programs that are actually aired on the radio, CatholicAudioMedia.com. We're also on Substack now, CatholicAudioMedia.substack.com. So we had a really powerful and interesting and disturbing week all at the same time. And this is the week, of course, that was the whole core of the election. And the election, of course, happened in November, but it was through our Constitution. This was the week that involved the final certification of the results of the election. And as we've seen, this turned into a disaster, and one of the reasons being the breach of Congress. There may be something that people need to understand when they see what happened this week, and that is that the country went into shock because what happened at Congress brought a lot, or in the Capitol building, brought a lot of images, some of them that we have lived through and some of them that we haven't, that put the nation into shock and put the nation into fear. And even though a coup attempt did not actually happen because there wasn't the structure to put one together, there was enough of the visuals to make it appear that would happen that was disturbing to a lot of people. We do know, for example, that many of us who are in our 60s, which means we are boomers, which means we may be dismissed by the younger people, but please keep in mind, as the saying goes, that I may be old, but I experienced all the great bands. Well, we also experienced all the unique and powerful history. And so whenever there was a breach of a building back in the 60s, that also meant occupying the building. And although that doesn't happen as much now, that clearly is something that people were afraid of, is now entering into the occupying of the building. And that could have turned very disastrous very quickly. The other thing is that many of us are in shock anyway, especially those of us who lived through 9/11. Now, for those of you who are much, much older and lived through 9/11, you have to remember that pretty much anyone who has graduated from high school was either not born yet or being born around the time of the 9/11 era. So, in fact, many of them never experienced what we experienced. And I remember coming back from having coffee with my sister, and I was stationed at the Cathedral Holy Cross in Boston. So you don't really drive a mile in Boston. You walk a mile, or at best you take a bus, because there's no place to park. So I was walking back to the cathedral from down by the Prudential Building and the Trinity Church and the Boston Public Library. And as I'm walking back to the cathedral, my sister called me on my cell phone to tell me that there was some story about some kind of a plane hitting the World Trade Center. And we thought it was something like a Piper Cub at that point. When I walk into the cathedral rectory, I see the scenes of what happened at the Pentagon. Now, I grew up during a time when we believed that the Pentagon was indestructible. I know it's not true, but that's what we believe, because that's what they taught us. That was part of the propaganda that we were taught in school, that the Pentagon was indestructible. Of course, it wasn't, and that was actually more shocking for me because, in fact, the minute we saw that, I was like, but isn't that building supposed to be indestructible? And so that was a shock to me. And one of the things that happened with the breach of the Congress building is people would have been in shock. And I'm sure many people across the country were in shock and were in a post-event shock in the country right now. And actually, one of the images that popped into my mind, which obviously I didn't live through, but many people would have thought of, was 1917, when you had the Russian Revolution. So people obviously were afraid that this was a revolution. So many people are saying this was not a coup attempt, yes, but the visuals indicated that maybe it could be. And this could have gone south right away. And it almost went south anyway. So now we're dealing with the aftermath of all the visuals and the people who are in shock. And it's something to keep in mind why, as I say, be careful where we live our religion. As you know, I was absolutely against any kind of Catholic involvement in the post-election rallies. Now, the pre-election rallies are something completely different, but the post-election rallies are such that I was really concerned about that, because I saw visuals, video from one of my news sources. And for those of you who don't know, I check out alternative news sources a lot more than mainstream news sources. So one of the alternative news sources, which happens to be Ruptly. Ruptly is the video channel. It's really just video. That's all it is. It's not videos. It's just news video. It's almost like a news video feed from Ruptly from the Russian, from the Russians. So they'll show things that you're not going to see on the American channel because they have because of the coverage they have. So anyway, they had video of the first post-election rally by President Trump. And I remember seeing, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, in the broadcast, I remember seeing like a priest in his cassock and a bunch of people around him praying the rosary at this rally. And I said, that is no place for the rosary. That is, that should not have happened. And the reason is, it's not so much as anything wrong with the rosary. I know people were concerned of how the election came out, but keep something in mind. If you mix your religion with politics when it comes to a campaign, in other words, if I go as a Catholic priest to an event as a Catholic priest for a political party, I am essentially blessing the entire platform of that political party. And so that was an issue there. And post-election, that's even worse, because the election has happened. Our participation in the election ended when the election polls were closed. Everything else is, there's a mechanism in place to deal with disputes in the election by the Constitution, and you have to let that mechanism continue in place. Once that is gone in place, you see the results and you figure out what to do from there. And for the most part, what you'll do is, we are going to live with the situation, move on, and see what we can do the next time. So what happened is, because there were Catholics at that rally, that first rally, I spoke against it, and I said this actually had no place for a Catholic, for exactly what I'm saying. If a Catholic priest is there, he's just blessed that entire event. And he also has blessed the platform. He's blessed everything. And not every political platform matches exactly what we believe. Now, if you went as dressed not as a priest, and you went as an American who happened to be Catholic, that's different. That's a completely different issue. But if we mix the two, then you bless the platform. And so I said that, number one, Catholics shouldn't have any part of these post-election rallies. But I was also concerned about the post-election rallies because of exactly what happened. They can get out of control, and then what happens? And what happened with the breaching of the Capitol building was that you ended up with the situation we used to talk about in the Navy, which was to win the battle and lose the war. And what that means is, that created the visuals that could now be used against the cause. And that's what happened with those who wanted to see this election results overturned. The visuals allowed those who they were against to use those visuals against them. They won the battle, they lost the war. And that's one of the things you always have to be careful. That's why we essentially as Catholics have to be careful about what we mix our loyalties with. And that's why our prime loyalty has to be to Christ over everything, because that's what we stand for. Our prime mission is the mission is the salvation of souls. Anything we do that compromises that is a dangerous watering down of our message. So we always have to be careful of what we do with the political. And that really created a lot of the problems there. Twitter is really not a platform where Catholics belong. And it's because you can't say anything of value in 280 characters. Anything that we believe as Catholics has a profound level to it that takes more than 280 characters to sum it up. So that's why I always say Catholics do not belong on Twitter, and Catholic bishops do not belong on Twitter, unless you're going to say, this is what the church teaches, and if you want to find out, click this link and you'll see the whole detail. Because you cannot say in 280 characters anything that's worth comprehending and all of that. So that's why I've always said keep away from Twitter. Well, what is our response at this point? Our response is to understand what it is that we stand for, understand that what it is that we believe, to root ourselves in prayer, all of which we should be doing anyway, and to root ourselves in prayer in the way, not saying, Lord, we want you to make this situation go away. Lord, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to glorify your name in everything we do? That's always how we begin pretty much the consecration of every mass, message in the overnight program, St. Anthony Overnight. So that's where we need to go. Now, I'm going to encourage people. This is kind of like the action moment. I'm going to encourage people for Lent to give up social media. At least give up Twitter, Facebook, Parler, what are the rest of them? Instagram. Just give them up unless you absolutely need them for your job. Give them up. I mean, I don't have them anyway. I have Twitter. I do have a Parler account, which I almost never use. I have a Twitter account, which I use a little bit more than Parler, but almost never use. I don't like that stuff. The only stuff I use is stuff that's more comprehensive. I love Medium. I absolutely love Medium, except I always warn people it's like a bookstore. So you can find anything on Medium. I love Medium, which was, ironically enough, created by one of the founders of Twitter. But it's comprehensive. It's articles. And I'm trying out Substack. I'm loving that. Things like that. But those are comprehensive. So those are some ideas. And that's one of the things I want to reflect on. Keep yourself rooted in prayer. If you can't go to church this weekend, stream it online. Do the rosary every day. Continue your consecration to Mary, to Jesus through Mary, and the 33 days. And that's going to take us right up to the inauguration. And we will see you on the radio on Monday or at CatholicAudioMedia.com. Either way, we'll see you on Monday. Have a blessed weekend. We continue to update our website at CatholicAudioMedia.com, and now you can subscribe to our Substack newsletter and webpage. Just click on the button that says Join Us at Substack, and there you can subscribe, or just click the option to visit the newsletter webpage without subscribing. More options from CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com, where you can also contact us, you can send us feedback, you can send us prayer requests, all at CatholicAudioMedia.com.